I'm Kurt Bruner, your host. Welcome to this edition of the podcast. It's always fun to hear couples who've been married a long time describe the early days of their love, how they met, the things they consider important in marriage and foundational to a God-honoring relationship. And so I have permission to share with you highlights from some interviews that were recorded originally for Family Life Radio at familylife.com. In fact, it's a great ministry. You should go visit their site, get on their email list, and just learn more of what they have for marriages and for parenting. But Dennis Rainey and Bob Lapine are here in this segment interviewing a variety of couples, been married 40, 50 years, one of them, I think, over 60 years. And it's just fun to listen to them. For me, I find it inspiring for my own marriage, as well as instructive in terms of what's really, really important and foundational for my relationship with Olivia or for your relationship with your spouse. So I hope you enjoy this as we seek to become more intentional about building God-honoring marriages.
When did you then formally ask Lib out on a date, Carl?
We had numbers of dates. We didn't have any money, but we had a lot of fun. Among our activities used to be going to night court down in the city of Los Angeles. And that was quite an experience. It didn't cost any money.
Now, wait a second. Bob and I are looking at each other.
Very entertaining.
Very entertaining. Night court?
Right.
Bob, what are you thinking right now? He really knows how to show a lady a good time,
doesn't he? Man.
Well, it didn't cost anything.
Yeah. I'm just thinking I wish I'd tried that in college. I'll pick you up Friday and we'll go to night court together.
Well, you remember this was a long time ago. And then sometimes we would not infrequently go to the live broadcast of the old-fashioned revival hour that Dr. Charles E. Fuller used to have every Sunday afternoon.
3 o'clock, yeah.
And Rudy Atwood and the quartet mm-hmm. would sing. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go to local radio stations and go to the live broadcast of the Burns and Allen show and what was the one of the where the door always squeaked, Inner Sanctum, mm-hmm. and some of those things. We'd go be part of the audience, and it cost me 10 cents for 3 pounds of Thompson seedless grapes when we came home.
This is Charles E. Fuller, director of the Old Fashioned Revival Hour, speaking. Rudy Atwood and George Broadbent, will you play Heavenly Sunshine for me, please?
Where did he take you on your first date, Alice? Do you remember?
To the movie. You know what he said to me? He said, we're going to go to the movie. I said, do you like movies? He said, not particularly, but you can take anything to the movie.
Because I'll go to sleep anyhow. And as
and
up to this
sure
day,
does.
I don't care particularly for movies.
You know, I think we're going to learn about the grace of God in this marriage we're dealing with here. If this is the way this started out.
You must have really been impressed with him that first night, huh?
Oh, I went home and told my mother, because him being 28 and me being 18
uh-huh.
was something.
Your mother was probably not real excited about that, was she?
No, she wasn't.
Well, she didn't know the difference. But, her mother didn't know what the ages difference that time.
Not that time, she didn't.
That all come later.
Mm-hmm. But then the thing about it is, it got to be where he was more like the son and I was the in-law.
Oh, is that right?
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
She was a fine Christian lady.
Uh-huh.
Sure, because she loved you.
You became her favorite, huh?
That's oh, yeah. Right.
How did you pull that off?
Well, I just kind of acted normal and shot a few words around and so forth and so on. Her dad was a type of a fellow that didn't have much to say. We'd get along all right.
I'm getting the picture that Ed was kind of a smooth-talking ladies' man.
I think that's right.
Is that right, Alice?
He was.
Was he a charmer back then?
He was.
So how did you snag him? I mean, here you are. You're 18.
Mm-hmm.
He's 28. How long did you date, and how did he ask you to marry him?
We dated for 5 months.
Oh, he really waited a long time, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He really did.
You cured his prowling quick.
From November, I believe it was, of
met him
35
in
to... Married in 30, and
we married in 35, honey.
We married in 1936. Don't you get wrong. I know exactly the hour, the minute, all about it.
Okay.
All right. I was fixing to say, in 1935, we met on this corner I was telling you about. That was November 1935.
Oh, okay.
The following April.
25th.
April the 25th, 1936, we jumped a broomstick.
No, don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me till I come marching home.
We'd been dating for 3 years, and I was a senior in seminary. Asbury Seminary is across the street from Asbury College. Mm-hmm. And I was coming to graduation, and I needed to be married. And we were allowed to take our dates with us for one Sunday out of the month. So I invited Lillian to go with me, and she stayed in a neighboring farmhouse. And that May, beautiful May morning, I walked over. We walked together to church. It was beautiful. And I thought that was a good time to propose. And I said, Lillian? She said, yes, Don. I said, well, I'll just be frank and tell you, will you marry me? And she said, well, I promised myself when I came to school I'd never marry a preacher. Well, I was depressed. We went on to church, and I don't know how I got through, because somehow I struggled through the song service and prayer. It was a poor sermon. Walking home, she snuggled up to me and said, Don, there's not enough preacher about you to hurt. I'll marry you. that's the story I tell.
She's shaking her hand.
That's not my story.
It's not her story.
Well, you all were married. What was the date of your marriage?
I know this. June the 5th, 1946.
Right after World War II.
Mm-hmm. We had dated 3.5 years. We waited a week through school. Back then, very few students ever got married during the year. Uh-huh. You'd wait until after graduation. Uh-huh. And so we both graduated in May, and we were married early in June.
Kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time.
Remember, Carl, the time when you thought, I believe she's the one?
You know, this is, I have to confess, it was subtle. It happened gradually, and...
Night court has a problem. It's hard to determine that in night court.
I think, really, it really became actual to me one time after she left, and I realized that how much she meant to me and how much I missed her. And it wasn't long after that I asked her if she would like to spend the next 52 and a half years with me, and she agreed. And we were married, that was in April, and we were married the 1st of June in 1943.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Bum, 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 bum. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
If a young couple were to ask you, what's the secret of 52 and a half years, have you been able to handle the ups and downs of med school and the stress in a marriage and the different crises of life? How would you answer that?
Well, I certainly agree with Lib. It's a love and respect for one another. And a definition of the love that, as I see it, is it's more than infatuation. It's, mm-hmm. it's more than physical exhilaration. But I think it's really esteem and respect and reverence for one another as a man or a woman who's created in the image of God. Mm. And that to me is a very stabilizing, that's real good ballast during times of turbulence, mm-hmm. to realize that the person in whom you may be momentarily frustrated carries the credential of being created in the image of God, to me, is a profoundly significant thing.
I got to ask you, as you look at couples today who, well, a lot of them are getting divorced.
You're right.
Within the first 5 years of marriage.
I know what you mean.
What's been the secret of being together for 60 years?
One answer I'll tell the world. Living for God.
We made the Lord the head of our home when we married, and he still is.
We put him first. We had our relation spiritually all ironed out. And so I relate to you one thing that's, I don't know of a couple that's ever witnessed it before, and that is this. We was in church the next day after our wedding. And to answer your question, nothing short. That's the Lord's will, and follow Him. I tell everybody that's contemplating uniting together as one unit, marrying, the answer is keep Him first in life and let Him be the first of your house and follow Him.
If you had a young couple seated across this table from you right now, and they were just getting married, perhaps their wedding is a month away, and you're giving them the essence of the best advice that you could garner, Lillian, Don, take a shot at them. Heart to heart, what would you say to that couple as they begin this journey together?
I would tell them it's so important to be sure that you both have the same goals, to have some private agenda that he doesn't know about would be devastating to our marriage if I were working toward that and not working with him. I think it has taken the two of us to be a complete unit, mm-hmm. and we've helped each other. Mm-hmm. When the two of us are agreed upon anything, it's so much easier to achieve it.
Don, how would you answer that question?
First of all, we were committed Christians. We were not only committed, but Jesus was Lord of all of our life. And I think that's the basis for the foundation. And then we decided we were going to be married, commit ourselves for life. Hmm. And what would I say? I would tell people that there are probably three or more levels of compatibility. First of all is the physical. We're attracted to a person. We're attracted to a personality. And we're married, there's physical compatibility, it includes sex. Sex is a very important part, but it's not all of life. You sit across the table from each other 7 days a week, 12 months out of the year, years. So you need to be able to discuss things together. You need to keep the lines of communication open. We're not the same. If she was a Southerner, I was a Yankee, one of us was a Democrat and the other was a Republican.
Did you have a few civil wars there?
Not really. We settled that when we said, I do. And you've heard of right brain and left brain people. We're classic examples of the two. She's musical. She plays the piano, organ, sings. She's an artist. I'm tone deaf. I can't draw a straight line. Mm-hmm. My strengths are in finance and mechanical and logic. But even though we're different, we enjoy each other's company. We enjoy going out to a restaurant by ourselves as well as with other people. Mm-hmm. And then the third level would be spiritual compatibility. Fortunate that we came from the same religious background. We were both members of the same church and came from families of the same status. And we have spiritual compatibility. And every night that we've been married, except when we're separated, we've prayed together. We hold hands and pray together for 50 years. Now, prayer is a two-way street. We talk to God, but God also talks to us. And there have been many times when the Lord has chastened me about some attitude or some word I've said to Lillian. And after prayer, we have embraced, and I've said, honey, forgive me. Mm-hmm. So I think that Jesus has been the cement that's held our marriage together.
You know, every marriage is intended to be a picture of the marriage between God and His people in terms of its faithfulness, in terms of the intimacy between the man and the woman, and how it's a picture of the intimacy God wants to have with His people. And that's why it's so important that we model, not just for ourselves, but for those around us, for our children, that we model what it means to have a God-honoring relationship and a marriage that's faithful. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next time.